From the moment we get up in the morning, the time we go to bed at night, we're conversing with ourselves. And guess what? Even in your dreams are a way of you talking to you. The things you say to you are so important because they decide the way you respond to life and adversity.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. Today on Life Talk Radio, we are starting a brand new message we're calling Encourage Yourself. This message is all about King David and his foolproof way of dealing with negative emotions. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us more.
If somebody were to ask you who you talk to more than anyone else, you might say your spouse or your children or your best friend or perhaps your coworkers. But the real truth is you talk to yourself more than all of them. And that's why it's so important what we say to ourselves. Are we talking ourselves up or down? Are we saying negative, self-defeating things to ourselves, or are we building ourselves up in the faith? Well, King David actually wrote about this very thing in the Psalms, and that's what we're going to explore in today's message entitled, Encourage Yourself. I believe this word is going to change some of the things you say to yourself and help us all to be our number one encouragers. So let's go right to today's message, Encourage Yourself.
Now today I want to talk to you about the mouth gate in this way. Nobody talks to you more than you. You ever thought about that? Nobody talks to you more than you. Now, the most important voice we listen to is first God, but second, it's ourselves. Because nobody talks to you more than you. You don't listen to anybody more than you do listen to yourself. From the minute you get up in the morning till you go to bed at night, you're conversing with you. Now, some of you talk out loud, some of you never do. I talk out loud a lot. You got to be careful how much you talk out loud. Because people may think you need a little phone call if you're talking too much. But sometimes Cindy will say to me, what'd you say? I say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm just talking to myself. Because I do talk out loud to myself. But I want to talk to you today about what you say to yourself and how important it is what you say to you. Now, David fully understood this, and I'm going to read one verse. You know this verse. It's one of my favorites. I've quoted it many times in my own life. Psalms 42, verse 5. David talks to himself, and he says, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Why are you all ruffled and out of joint, and what's the matter with you? He's saying to himself. Then he says, hope in God. Hope in God, for I will yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Amen? Now there's David talking to himself, and I want to just spring from this today and talk to you about how to encourage yourself. Because you know, sometimes nobody's going to encourage you but you. Amen? So we need to know how to do it. I just got to know, how many of you talk to yourselves out loud? How many of you do it in the car? How many of you do it in rush hour traffic? Well, I got a big one on that. All right. We won't ask what's said. Now, if you study your Bible, you'll notice that these same words are repeated three times. Another time in Psalms 42, so twice in Psalms 42, and then once in Psalms 43, so that really Psalms 42 and 43 could have been put together into one psalm. It almost would have made more sense because the theme is the same. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I will yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Now, let me give you a little background to the psalm. David is struggling with negative emotions. So he pens this psalm to turn it over to the sons of Korah to put music to it. You'll notice in the little heading in your Bible, it probably attributes the psalm to the sons of Korah. They didn't write it. It's Davidic. That is, David wrote it, but he turned it over to the sons of Korah. And the sons of Korah were a group of musicians appointed by David that really led worship, and they were over the music ministry, if you will, in the Old Testament sanctuary. Now, it's interesting, the sons of Korah, because their great-great-great-granddaddy, Korah, was the man with two other guys, Dathan and Abiram, who decided to rebel against Moses. And you remember what happened. It didn't go well for them. They came against Moses and Aaron. Moses said, let's have a meeting with God in the morning. They came together, and Moses simply prayed, God, if you're with me, show them. The ground opened up and swallowed Korah, Dathan, and Abiram and closed up over them. So that was a really bad day at the office for those three. Now, it says in the Bible that God did not take out Korah's children. They were allowed to live because they were not required to pay for daddy's sin. So the bottom line is, the descendants of this rebel, Korah, God redeemed and caused them to become worship leaders in the house of God in David's day. So I want everybody to say with me, I'm not a victim of what my ancestors did. Amen? Say that with me. I'm not a victim of what my ancestors did. See, they said, hey, my great-great-great-granddaddy went into rebellion, not me. I'm going to praise God. So David hands over the words of this psalm to the sons of Korah, and they put music to it. Now, he wrote it probably during the time he was fleeing from his own son Absalom. Absalom had for years been stirring up unhappiness with David, unhappiness with his rule. He had been turning the people to himself. And he was setting up a mutiny. And you know the story. Absalom rebelled against David, took half the kingdom with him. And David had to flee from the kingdom, flee into the woods for his very life. It was a very, very dark hour for David. And that's likely when he wrote this psalm. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. Hope in God. Things look bad, but hope in God. For I will yet praise him, the help of my countenance. So he's hiding in the wilderness. The psalm is very autobiographical. He's hiding in the wilderness. He's sorely missing his regular times of worship in the sanctuary. If you read the whole psalm, he talks about longing for God, thirsting for God, missing God. And what he's really saying is, I miss going into the house of God with the people of God and worshiping God with them. I'm missing church, we would say. He said, I'm missing my weekly Sabbath time in the house of God. I want to go with the people of God to the house of God and worship God. But he's hiding in the wilderness, so he can't. So he's hurting. He's missing all of that. He's missing his spiritual habits and his spiritual cycle, the cycle of his life spiritually. His emotions have collapsed in the psalm. Sleep has left him. He says, my tears have been my food day and night. I'm crying all day long. I'm crying all night long. I'm not sleeping at night. I'm crying. I'm soaking my pillow in tears. And due to all that was happening to him, David spirals into the blues. And can you blame him? That is, I can surely understand. So he's cast down within himself. That means bowed down. The weight on him has bowed his shoulders, bowed him down. He's cast down on the inside. And he's discouraged. And he's feeling defeated. And he's disquieted. He has no peace in his soul. Maybe you feel that way today. The circumstances of your life have been such that today you feel cast down. You feel disquieted. You're wondering, when is this going to change? When is God going to move? When am I going to be delivered? When is God going to answer me? When is God going to move on my situation? If that's you, hang on. I've got a good word for you today. Amen. Now, what we're about to see is that David knew something. David knew how to do something that I want all of us to know how to do today. David knew how to talk to himself. David understood the power of talking to himself. He decides when he's down in the mully grubs, he's really depressed, but he says, I'm not going to stay here. I want everybody to say with me, I'm not going to stay here. He said, I'm not going to stay here, because when you allow yourself to spiral down and stay there, it's not a good thing. You may spiral down, but you need to always say to yourself, I'm not going to stay here. I'm not going to build a house here. This is not the way I'm going to live. This is going to change. I serve a mighty God. I don't have to live this way. I'm going to pull myself out. So he says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to myself. Now, we see that he does three things in talking to himself. And I want you to say them with me. He confronts himself. He encourages himself. And we're going to see he prophesies to himself. Let's try it again. He confronts himself. He encourages himself. And he prophesies to himself. Now, before looking at this, I want to tell you how important it is what you say to yourself, because some of you, you're talking to yourself right now, whether or not you like what I'm doing here, whether or not you're wishing you'd stayed home, or whether you're glad you came to church. You've already talked to yourself all the way to church. I want to talk to you about how important it is what you say to yourself, what you allow yourself to say to yourself. No one is more influential in your life than you are, because no one talks to you more than you do. Can I say that again? Nobody is more influential in your life than you are, because no one talks to you more than you do. You're not even aware of it, but we're conversing with ourselves all the time because God made us like Him. He's three part. So you see God addressing Himself in the Bible all the time. A dog can't do that. A dog can't say, well, what do you think about what he fed you today? A dog can't say, well, I wish that he'd take me for a walk, and, you know, it's been weeks since he took me for a walk, and I'm thinking about just approaching him with how long it's been since he took me for a walk. No, they don't think that way at all. Everything is instinct. But God made us three part, body, soul, and spirit, so we alone in God's creation have the ability to talk to ourselves. From the moment we get up in the morning, the time we go to bed at night, we're conversing with ourselves. And guess what? Even in your dreams are a way of you talking to you. The things you say to you, about God, and about other people, and about your circumstances are so important, because they decide the way you respond to life and adversity.
Hi, everyone. I want to take a quick moment to share some exciting news. The Life Talk Radio broadcast now reaches throughout the country, and we sometimes receive emails and messages from our listeners saying, I wish I was in Fort Worth so that I could visit Turning Point Church and be with you in person. Well, while that may not be possible, we now have the next best thing available just for you. You can join us live in real time via our free webcast. It's this easy. Go to our church's website at tpcfamily.org. That's tpcfamily.org. Once you're on the opening page, just click on the Watch Message button. Follow the link and you'll be brought right into the service in progress. You can worship with us and then enjoy the message. We'd love to be a part of your weekly worship experience. You can join us for our 7 o'clock Wednesday evening service or one of our three Sunday morning services at 9, 10:30, or 12 Central Time. I look forward to welcoming you as part of our live webcast church family. Now let's go right back to today's message.
It's so important what you say to you about you, who you let define you, who you let tell you who you are. I learned a long time ago, nobody's defining me but God. I'm not letting anybody define me. Have you ever noticed people are always wanting to define you? You're this, you're that, you're not this, you're not that. You need to this, you need to that. If you would only this, if you would only that. This is what I see for you, this is what I don't see for you. You have this talent, you don't have any talent. They tell you things that may or may not come from God, and our culture is always wanting to define us as Christians. Listen, I got to be in the Word of God every day because the culture is so intent on defining me as a Christian. You shouldn't speak up. You shouldn't take a stand for God. You shouldn't call wrong wrong and right right. You shouldn't this, you shouldn't that. And I resist that. I'm going to let God define me. God is my definer. God defines me. Come on, everybody. God defines me. When Jesus called people, he immediately always defined them. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Well, what do you mean by that? I've always been a fisher of fish my whole life. Jesus said, yeah, but now I'm going to make you a fisher of men. That's who you are. See, Jesus doesn't see us the way we see us. We look at us in the mirror and we see according to whatever we've allowed to define us. But he looks at us and sees what he's going to make us to be. And all day long, we're talking to ourselves about ourselves. You can do this. You can't do this. You can succeed. You can't succeed. You are gifted. You're not gifted. You are a genuine Christian. You're not really saved. There's always something trying to define us. So it's important that the things you say to you, about God, about other people, and about the circumstances of life are so crucial because they decide how you're going to handle life. In trying times, you can talk yourself into depression, despair, hopelessness, unbelief, defeat. You can talk yourself into, I'm never going to make it. I'm never going to get through this. I don't have what it takes, blah, 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 blah. And you can talk yourself into a hole. Or you can talk yourself into encouragement, which David understood how to do. You can talk yourself into victory. In the midst of highly stressful circumstances, David decided to talk himself out of the blues and into victory. So how did he do it? He did it the same way we got to do it. Here's how he did it. First, he confronted himself. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Who's he talking to? He's talking to himself. He's talking to himself. He's addressing himself. He's confronting himself. He's confronting his emotions. He's not just letting them run wild. To him, truth was not what his emotions told him. Truth was what God said to him. So why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? He's talking to himself. I don't know if he was saying it out loud. I don't know if he was saying it just to himself, but he was talking to himself. Negative thoughts were flooding his soul, and he caught himself listening to them, entertaining them, agreeing with them. And suddenly he realizes what's going on, and he says, hey, stop it. Why are you disquieted, O my soul? Why are you troubled? Why are you so upset? Suddenly he realizes what's happening and he confronts himself, which only human beings can do. Only you can confront yourself. Now I can confront you, or somebody else that loves you can confront you, but what I want us to understand today is we are supposed to confront ourselves when our emotions are going south and our thinking is going down instead of up. We are supposed to confront ourselves. David said, what are you doing? He's saying, soul, why are you so down? You're acting like you have no God, like he doesn't know or care. What's up with you? What's wrong with you, soul? What are you doing? Hadn't God been good to you? Hadn't he helped you before? That's what he's saying to himself. He said, hadn't he come through for you over and over again? Why, O soul, would you be disquieted, unsettled, and uncertain? Why have you lost your peace? God's a mighty God. He's faithful. You need to trust him. You need to get it together, O soul of mine. I'm putting a stop to this stinking thinking right now. Come on, everybody. Come on. Everybody say, talk to yourself. You're going to talk to yourself anyway, so you might as well talk right. Sometimes there's an old song, and I hate to say it because some of you are going to go, wow, Jeff, that really dates you, but it went like this. I just stepped in to see what condition my condition was in. How many of you remember that one? Oh, hallelujah. Now, that's an old song, but that's true. Because, see, sometimes we do need to step in to see what condition our condition is in. And if we're not thinking what God wants us to think, if we are building a case against ourselves on the inside, we need to confront ourselves and say, see, you can build a case against yourself. You can build a case against your future. You can build a case against God's call on you. And if you're doing that, you need to step in to see what condition your condition is in and say, wait a minute, what are you doing, soul of mine? Stop it. He's faithful. Trust him. Most of us never stop to think of confronting ourselves, of talking straight to our own soul, of literally facing down our thoughts and saying to ourselves, what's up with you? Why are you thinking this way? It's not as bad as it looks. These are not God's words to you. This is not the Bible. This is flesh. This is the enemy. This is not God thoughts. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about just looking in the mirror and having a pep talk with yourself. Hey, you got it going on. You can do it. There is none like you. I'm not saying that. The Bible says, be careful how you think because thoughts have consequences. Paul the Apostle wrote about the inner conversations that we have with ourselves. And he said this. He said, listen, let's talk about the inside of you. He said, fix your thoughts on what is true and good and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and dwell on the fine, good things in others. Think about all you can praise God for and be glad about. Think on these things. Everybody say, think on these things. Fix your thoughts. Our thoughts are not supposed to run away with us. They're supposed to be under the control of the Holy Ghost. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report. If there's any virtue to it, any praise to it, fix your thoughts on that. Why? Because our thoughts are where our inner conversations come from. In his book on spiritual depression, I pulled this quote. It was so good. Martin Lloyd-Jones writes this. You have to take yourself in hand. You have to address yourself. Preach to yourself. Question yourself. You must say to your soul, why are you cast down? What business have you to be disquieted? You must exhort yourself instead of muttering in this depressed, unhappy way. You got to talk to yourself. I have to do it all the time. I have to talk to myself all the time. That's why I get in the Word every day. You know why? Because every day in the morning, the Word sets my thoughts in the way they should go. The Word every day sets my thoughts. It's like I'm setting a GPS towards heaven. Get me to heaven. Let me enjoy the presence of God today. And the way I do that is first and foremost, I wash my brain in the thoughts of God. What is the Bible? It's the thoughts of God. What is the Bible? It's God talk. What is the Bible? It's God's view of things. What is the Bible? It's literally God's mind in a book comprised of 66 other little books. It's the thoughts of God. And I want to think like God because if I think like God, I'm going to walk like God, talk like God, develop his character. As a man thinks in his heart, so will he be. So David said, soul, stop it. What are you doing? You're going south. Stop it. The second thing he does is he encourages himself. He commands his soul, three words, hope in God. Soul, hope in God. I want us to say it together, can we? Three simple words, hope in God. Because that's where your hope is. It's in God. He says, soul, quit thinking this way. I'm confronting you. I'm stopping this track of thinking. And I want you to instead start hoping in God. Start thinking about God. Don't hope in men. Don't hope in fate. Don't hope in circumstances. Don't even hope in your own strength. Put your hope in God.
We hope you were blessed by Pastor Jeff's message. We're so glad to have you with us today. Here at Life Talk, we want to stay connected with you and help equip and encourage you in your walk with the Lord. If you would like to receive e-devotionals and ministry updates from Pastor Jeff, visit our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. From there, you can sign up to receive this exclusive Life Talk listener email. When you sign in for the first time, we'll send you a free gift as a thank you for being a devoted Life Talk listener. So go to lifetalk.us and sign up for a free e-devotional today. To get a copy of today's message or this entire sermon series, give us a call toll-free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Our friendly staff will be standing by to assist you and even offer you a special discounted price so you can get your own copy of your favorite message or the entire sermon series from Pastor Jeff. This is our way of thanking you for your unwavering support for Life Talk. Once again, the number is 877-884-3111, or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us for more information. You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Join us again next time for part two of this life-changing message called Encourage Yourself. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again on our next Life Talk radio broadcast. Until next time, may God bless you richly.